If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. A familiar story, I think it will be for many of us. A great story for sure. And I believe one that contains for us today a real message, a real word from the Lord. And help even for how we can better live in the word that God would have for us today. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8, just to set up the story. The prophet is Elisha, the nation is Israel, and the enemy is the king of Aram. The king of Aram was at war with Israel. And after conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." So the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up, went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. Verse 16, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Don't kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you've captured with your sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. After they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. What an amazing story, right? What an incredible experience for this servant of the man of God. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" Can you imagine going to bed at night and all things well, everything peaceful and comfortable, and waking up in the morning, and I can only imagine sort of stepping outside the tent and seeing all around them the armies of the enemy. And then the word from the prophet, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." This last week in my own Bible reading, I read 2 Kings chapter 6 and was captivated again by the story. The message reads this way: the servant of the holy man got up, went out. Surprise! Horses and chariots surrounding the city, and the young man exclaimed, "Master, what shall we do?" And Elisha, the prophet, said, "Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." It was my Bible reading. It was my devotional time. And no doubt the word was for me because I needed it. I needed to hear it. But in that moment, I truly sensed that it was a word from Jesus for not just me, But for all of us that would be here today, even very specifically, maybe it's a right now kind of word for some of us in the room. I don't know all that you might be going through. I don't know all you might be dealing with in your life, in this season of your life. I don't know how things are at home. I don't know how things might be in your marriage or with your kids. I don't know all the pressure that you maybe are dealing with at work, the stress because of all that you have to get done, the stress compounded because of the little time in which you have to get it all done, the tension that comes from working under that kind of boss or with those kind of colleagues. I don't know the financial struggle that you're maybe living in, the bills may be piling up for you. Everything seems to be breaking down. Everything seems to be falling apart. I don't know the attack that you might find yourself under, the battle you maybe find yourself in the middle of. I don't know how simple, I don't know how serious the trouble you're facing right now, how it all might seem to you. I don't know the cause of the trouble. You've messed up. Maybe the devil coming hard after you, people around you just being plain awful, or life has put you on one serious roller coaster of a ride. I don't know. But I do know what I sense to be the Lord's word to you today. Listen to me this morning. Listen to the word of the Lord. Don't worry about it. That's meant to be a good word. Would you receive that word today? And as I was this past Tuesday when I read this story from 2 Kings, when I sensed the message for me, would you be encouraged? Would you be strengthened? Is there difficulty? Is there trouble that seems to abound? Perhaps there is. Is there too much in your life now that makes you to wonder, oh, what am I going to do? No doubt for some of us, maybe even many of us, there's plenty of that right now in our lives. But this morning, there is also a word from the Lord for it all. Don't worry about it. This morning, would you determine that rather than being still more intimidated and anxious about the trouble, would you determine today to surrender to the word of the Lord, be lifted up, strong, confident, joy-filled, and peaceful again because of his word, the trouble, the oh no, what am I going to do stuff for that. The Lord speaks to you and he speaks to me today. His response, his word to us, don't worry about it. What are you going through? I don't say it flippantly. I don't say it casually. I don't say it insincerely. I don't say it as a means of downplaying the difficulty you find yourself in. I say it to you this morning because I sense in my spirit that not only was it a word for me on Tuesday and for my life forever, but it would be a word for you today. What are you going through? Stop. Wait. Don't worry about it. Isn't that good? Don't you desire that? Worry-free living. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field. They grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? The pagans run after those things. Can I paraphrase this morning? The pagans worry. Child of God, you're not to worry. The pagans do that. The pagans, under the pressure and the stress and the turmoil of life, they run from one worry to the next. But you belong to the King of heaven and earth. Yours is the Almighty God with whom nothing is impossible. So Jesus' words, do not worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and All these things will be given to you as well. Once more, therefore, do not worry. Can you imagine life lived there? Can you imagine? Oh no, there's an enemy surrounding us. Horses, chariots, enemy soldiers intent on killing us. Don't worry about it. Oh no, I just got back from the doctor and the doctor has said I have. And wow, all the things that we could fill in that blank that would make us to be worried. But this morning, don't worry about it. Oh no, the boss has said the cuts are coming and my job's on the line. What am I going to do about the house? How am I going to make the car payment? What am I going to do about paying all the bills? Don't worry about it. Can you imagine a life lived where nothing rattled you? Nothing shook you? There was nothing that could make you become anxious, nothing that could happen to you, even around you, that would make you to worry. Can you imagine that life? Some of us are living some anxious moments right now. There's plenty going on in your life that would make you to worry. And if we're being honest this morning, truth be told, it has already. Some of you sit here this morning, and in what you're dealing with and what you're going through, you don't know what to do. And you're just like the man of the servant of God. You're running here and there. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Your heart and your mind, even every aspect of your life consumed with worry and fear and anxiousness. Once more, make sure you hear the Lord's word today. Don't worry about it. I wish I could go through one by one. What are you going through? So that I could respond to you one by one. Listen, this is what the Lord says. Don't worry about it. How do we get there? How do we get to that life where worry is no longer an option for us? This morning in our story, I think we can take hold of a few things that would help us to get closer to that kind of life, that kind of living. Let me share with you four things. Number one, the first is this: listen carefully. Early in the morning, servant of the holy man got up, surprised, horses, chariots. The unman exclaimed, "Oh master, what shall we do?" And Elisha said, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. There's more on our side than on their side. There are more with us than there are those against us." Prone to worry because of the army surrounding them, intent on killing them, the servant of the man of God goes to the man of God and hears the good news. Listen to me this morning. In the trouble, you don't need people to talk to you about the trouble. You need people who will speak into your life the good news. You don't need people echoing back to you what you're already saying. Oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh no, that's just terrible what you're going through. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to solve that. I don't know how you're going to get out of that. You don't need that. You need the man of God. You need the woman of God that will speak into your life. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. God's with you. He's greater than whatever is right now against you. Be careful what you allow yourself to listen to when you're prone to worry. Be careful what you allow yourselves to hear from others. Be careful what you allow yourself to hear from yourself. Be careful how you talk to yourself. I read this last week. One author writes, "Authentic bravery is activated by our vocabulary long before it gives way to action." Our words have influence over our surroundings. So how about you? What words tumble off your lips during moments of crisis? What words are you using to shape your future? Watch this. It's an incredible question. Are they words God would speak over you? Can you imagine us running to God? God, what am I going to do about this?
God, the doctor has said. God, the boss has said. God, the bank shows me this. God, there's this. God, there's that. What are the words that God would speak over you? Are those the words you're listening to? Are those the words you're speaking over yourself? Are they positive, encouraging, inspiring? Every word you speak in some way shapes your destiny. In Mark chapter 4, we read the story of Jesus and disciples out in the lake, and the storm comes. Jesus, asleep through it all, woken finally from the disciples. Jesus arose them and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And the inclined to make us worry and become anxious situations in life, you need in your life the people who will speak to you and over you the peace be still word. It's the word you need to speak to yourself. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you talk. Further challenge you this morning, I don't mean to detract from the message of where we're at and where we're headed, but can I ask you this morning, how about how you talk to others? Are others being careful when they listen to you? I was thinking of it related to me, my own story, and how to consider this, and thinking if you, as you sit here and hear the message this morning, if there are others in my circle of relationship and influence, if their pastor happened to be preaching the same message this morning, I wonder how they would think of me. Would it be, oh, be careful what you listen. I need to stop listening to Denny because all he does is speak more worry. All he does is echo back what I'm already saying. Oh, I don't know what you're going to do. Oh, this is serious trouble. Oh, I just hope maybe you survive through it all. I was wondering in my own life, I wonder, be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. And then as I'm thinking, how do I talk to people? Are people thinking as they think of me, I need to stop listening to him? Or would it hopefully be the opposite? I need to stop listening to so-and-so, and I need to start listening to Denny more. All he ever does is speak the peace be still word in my life. All he ever does is encourage. All he ever does is lift up. All he ever says is the do not be afraid, don't worry about it word. Listen carefully. And that's true whether you're listening to someone else talk to you or whether you're listening to yourself talk to yourself. Number two, see clearly. In the worrisome situation, the servant of the man of God, he didn't just need to hear right, he needed to see right. More specifically, he needed to see the situation more clearly. It was Elisha's prayer. Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's interesting, isn't it? The servant could see the army surrounding the city. He couldn't see heaven's army surrounding them. He could see the dilemma. He couldn't see the deliverer, nor could he see the deliverance. He could see the trouble. He could see the threat. He could see the problem. He could see the reason for the, oh no, master, what are we going to do question. He couldn't see the reason for the don't worry about it explanation. He could see the need to worry. He couldn't see the cause for hope. He could see, but in fact, he couldn't. Listen to me. If you can't see clearly, all you're ever going to live in this life is worry. If you can't see clearly, the only option at every turn of trouble in your life is going to be to respond in worry and in anxiousness. In 1 Corinthians 13, we read this, we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. The King James says we see through a glass darkly. The New King James, we see dimly. I would say it this way this morning. When all you're seeing is this reality, when all you can see is only what's right in front of you, you're seeing the poor reflection. You're seeing dimly and you're seeing darkly. You're not seeing clearly. The army surrounding the man of God and his servant was not the complete picture. It was the dim and the dark. The servant needed his eyes opened so he could see clearly. So can I ask you this morning, what do you see? The trouble, the difficulty, the problem? What do you see more clearly this morning? What are you more focused on, the dilemma or the deliverer? The trouble all around you or the angel armies of heaven that surround you? What do you see? What's more in focus for you, the thing against you or the one within you that is greater? I love this picture, and I would ask it to you in light of that. What do you see? Little lamb, what do you see? The wolf staring you down. The doctor's report you can't take your eyes off of. What the boss has said that's turned your life upside down. The financial report that's got you worried about every single bill that sits at home on your counter. What do you see this morning? I'm going to tell you very plainly and clearly. If you're looking at the wolf, you need to see clearly this morning. And it would be my prayer for you as it was Elisha's for his servant. Oh God, open the eyes of this people so that rather than the wolf staring you down, you see the lion of the tribe of Judah that's staring your wolf down. If you want to experience worry-free living, you're going to need to see better. You're going to need to see more clearly. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. You're going to have to get your eyes off the wolf and start looking to the lion that would save and rescue and help you. Number three, trust completely. You'll never learn to live the don't worry about it life until you learn to trust God completely. The servant of the man of God got up, the army, the horses, the chariots surrounding. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? Don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You can't say don't worry about it if you can't trust him. Listen to me this morning. Trust him today. One author writes, most of us know what it feels like to be alone in the dark. Take the trash out late at night. Find yourself stranded alongside a road at night. You understand? Your mind can create hidden shadows or images. Before you know it, the hair on the back of your neck begins to rise. Nothing that scares my kids more than coming over to this church when it's dark in here and outside. They got to come in pairs. Bring the dog with them as well. Because coming in here, and by the way, I maybe should add, they're not unlike their father in that. It can be a scary thing to come to an empty and dark building. However, if you turn the flashlight or the light on, your fears quickly fade because the light exposes the truth. Nothing's there lingering in the dark ready to get you. In Psalm 23, David wrote about a time when he was sure that he would lose his life. It was a season when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, yet he was not afraid because he knew and trusted in the one who walked with him and had the ability to bring light to the darkest situation and exchange his worry for faith. When you face worrisome difficulties in your life, turn to God's reassuring and never-ending love. When you awake in the middle of the night to the whispers of the enemy's lies, remind yourself that Christ overcame and you will also proclaim what you know to be true. In essence, David said, though I walk through the threat of death,
I'll not fear because God's with me. God's the greater force. And he loves you, and his love is both intimate and personal towards you. Even though life may become dark, his light continues to burn. There is no darkness that can quench the light of God's love. You have no reason to worry. God is with you. Be encouraged. Be confident of that. Trust completely in that today. God is with you. God is for you. He loves you. You are the apple of his eye. He cares for you. He clothes the lilies of the field. Don't you know he cares much more for you than the field that's here today and tomorrow is gone? His eye is on the sparrow. He cares for each one. He knows each one that falls. Don't you know he cares more for you? How much more important you are to him than the sparrow. He creates, he cares for, he calls, and he commissions the ant. And you're of more value to him than the ant. Listen to this. Brenda was a young woman that wanted to learn to go rock climbing. She was scared to death. She went anyways with a group and faced this tremendous cliff of rock, practically perpendicular. In spite of her fear, she put on the gear. She took hold of the rope and she started up the face of that rock. Got to a ledge for a breather. She was hanging there. Whoever was holding the rope up at the top of the cliff made a mistake. Snapped the rope against Brenda's eye and knocked out her contact lens. You know how tiny contact lenses are, how impossible nearly to find. Well, here she is on a rock ledge, who knows how many hundreds of feet below and hundreds of feet above her. Of course, she looked and looked and looked, hoping she'd be able to find the lens. Here she was, so far from home, her sight now blurry, upset by the fact that she wouldn't be anywhere near a place where she could get a new contact lens, and she prayed that the Lord would help her to find it. Made it to the top without the lens, looked out across the range of mountains. Lord, you can see these mountains. You know every single stone and leaf that's on the mountains, and you know exactly where my contact lens is. Finally, the time came to go down. They walked the trail to the bottom. Just as they got there, there was a new party of rock climbers coming along. One of them started up the face of the cliff, shouted out, "Hey, you guys, anybody lose a contact lens?" She had found it. How? An ant was carrying the lens. What otherwise would surely have been missed was seen clearly as it moved across the face of the rock. The author concludes, what does that tell you about the God of the universe? Is he in charge of the tiniest things? Do ants matter to him? Of course they do. He made them. He designed them. Brenda, the rock climber, told her father, who's a cartoonist, she told him the story. He drew a picture of an ant carrying a contact lens with this as the caption, "Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it, and it's awfully heavy. But if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it for you." The conclusion, if God is in charge of the ants, don't you think he cares about you and me? He does. For Brenda, he cared enough to commission an ant to locate and bring to its finder her contact lens so she could have it again. Trust in that. That he's the God who does like that. That he's the God who can and does do like that for you. Again, I don't want to detract from the message this morning, but just an encouragement. David writes in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path." His word will help you to know him better so that you can then trust him more. Trust him today. Exchange your worry about the trouble for a trust, a complete trust in him. Finally, this morning, number four, Pray constantly. Listen carefully. See clearly. Trust completely. And pray constantly. You know the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? For some of us this morning, yes, there's trouble everywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak? Are you weak this morning? Heavy laden, cumbered, burdened with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Can I simplify the great hymn this morning? If you're worried, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're in a worrisome, troublesome, anxious-creating kind of situation, if you see the army that's surrounding you, the trouble that abounds, if you're wondering and the cry of your heart seems to be, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray constantly so over your heart and life, over your mind and spirit can settle the word of the Lord this morning. Don't worry about it. Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Can I take Paul's statement, and not to diminish it in any way, but can I take out sort of the parenthetical, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in him. Pray. I'm just going to say it the way it is, because I don't know how else to say it. Some of you, just plain and simple, you're just talking too much and not praying nearly enough. I'm just going to say it the way it is. I don't say it to be mean or to be rude. You're on the phone, you're on the Facebook way too much. You need to set it aside and get yourself into the prayer closet where you can let the peace of God encompass every aspect of your being. I'm just going to say it because I don't know how else to say it. Some of you are running here and there and everywhere just trying to find the next person you can unload on all your trouble and all your grief, and why they ought to feel as miserable as you do because of the misery you're in. And I'm just telling you this morning, the invitation to Scripture is to stop running here and there, everywhere, to them over there and to them over here, and to run to the one whose peace passes all understanding, who would be for you the Prince of Peace. You need to stop running unless you're going to turn your run to him.
and spend time calling out to Him. I share with you this morning on the authority of God's Word. Listen to me, Philippians chapter 4. Worry-free living is yours for the taking. You just have to stop worrying about anything and learn instead to pray about everything. You need to find your prayer closet again. You need to clear the calendar again. Some of you, you're too busy to pray. And what that has translated into your life, oh, but you're not too busy to worry. In fact, you're worrying about this and that and everything. You need to stop being so busy. And you need to decide, I'm going to take hold of worry-free living. And again, on the authority of God's Word, Philippians chapter 4, you don't worry, you pray, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will absolutely saturate every aspect of your being. It's true, I don't know the trouble. It may be huge, what you might be dealing with. Forget an army surrounding the city. It's worse than that. And yet, still true for us today. We take it to the Lord in prayer. And peace that we find there with Him and in His presence. I don't want you to miss it this morning, the word of the Lord for you today. And for me today. I believe it as an encouragement. I believe it is the word for the day. That whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, because of who He is, because of what He does, because of how He works in our lives, the Lord says to you, and He says to me, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. What's the trouble for you? Don't worry about it. Not a flippancy, not a casualness to what you're going, but because He is God, and because He is able, and because He can do abundantly above and beyond anything you could even think to ask for. Don't worry about it. Don't have to worry about that anymore, because the Lord says to you today, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. And help for us to live out that word. Listen carefully, see clearly, trust completely, and pray constantly. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. You know my heart. You know it's true and sincere this morning. That I believe today, a word that You would speak to us. Don't worry about it. Father, how easy it is to speak such a word. How easy it is to hear such a word. How difficult it can often be to take it to heart. We prayed it during worship this morning. I pray it once more for us. That as we prepare to leave this place, we are radically changed. Very specifically in light of Your word this morning, because we leave without the worry that we came in with. We were worried about our kids. We were worried about the money. We were worried about the job. We were worried about the problem that we can't solve. It may be even compromised our morning. It maybe has compromised our entire week. It may be even compromised the time of worship that we were supposed to have with You. We were too preoccupied with the trouble to worship. But this morning, we received the word of the Lord.
And we leave different than how we came in because the worry stays here. Come on, brother, sister, I pray for you this morning. The worry stays here. Listen to me. Let the worry stay here. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Father, I pray you help us to receive and take to heart your word this morning. Some of us gotta turn and tune some things off and out. Some of us, we need our eyes opened, see the lion instead of the wolf. Some of us need to dive deeper into your word so that we can know you better, so that we can trust you more. And some of us need to leave all the rest and run to the prayer closet and time where we can call out to you. Whatever it is, help each of us to do what we need to do so that we can take hold a little bit more and a little bit better of the worry-free living that you promised to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.